Nobody wants to outlive their money, but it happens, especially for women. That's why Gainbridge offers the Parity Flex annuity, designed for women's unique retirement needs, with flexible withdrawals plus a guaranteed lifetime income benefit that keeps paying you even if your account balance is zero. Gainbridge is helping build a better financial future for women. Retirement income you can't outlive is the ultimate flex. Start saving now at Gainbridge.io. Visit Gainbridge.io/ParityFlex for current rates, full product disclosures and disclaimers, and other important information.
Tired of restless nights? At Leesa, we know good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. From memory foam mattresses to hybrids that keep you cool all night long, Leesa's mattresses offer exceptional comfort and support with free delivery and 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus two free pillows. Go to leesa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. Exclusions apply. See leesa.com for more details.
Trinity School of Natural Health can help you be part of the fast-growing health and wellness industry. With an education that empowers communities, Trinity grads can change lives by applying natural health principles and techniques in holistic practices or stores selling nourishing health products. Offering 19 online programs that fit your busy schedule, you'll get training to help turn your passion into a career. Enroll today at trinityschool.org. That's trinityschool.org.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Content warning, this episode contains talk of addiction. If you or someone you know is struggling with addiction, there are resources in our show notes for today's episode. This episode will feature legal declarations given by Sarah and Charles Warren. The voice of Sarah is read by Kat Protano, and the voice of Charles is read by Dylan Saunders.
I'd struggled with, like, drug and alcohol use since I was, like, younger, and I just, you know, I was really lost. We moved up to California, and I had started using meth, and my head just really wasn't screwed on straight.
The first time I speak with Sarah Warren, she's in the car during an outing from rehab with her father, Paul. He calls and puts Sarah on speaker. I ask her to start at the beginning.
I think because of my drug use and everything, like, our family was fighting a lot, and I wanted out, and I thought running away would somehow fix it. I think I was just really kind of spiteful at the time, and I kind of wanted to, like, you know, like, fuck you to my parents. I'm gonna, like, do something really crazy, and I just, like, got a lot more than I bargained for.
And there was a lot Sarah didn't bargain for, especially once she got involved with Carmen Pugliafito, the dean of the medical school at USC. That relationship led to a cycle of drugs and rehab that had no end in sight. But now she's decided to talk on the record. So maybe there is a way out for her after all. My name is Paul Pringle, and this is Fallen Angels. This is a story that started in a hotel room in Pasadena, and it ends with the undoing of some of the most powerful people in Los Angeles. It's about influence and money, and the way they can eat away at people and make them look past things they know are very, very wrong. This is episode 6. Sarah's story.
I met Carmen Pugliafito working as a prostitute. I had, like, a lady pimp at the time who connected us through a website called Backpage that I was not aware I was even on. She had set up a profile, and he had his own profile on that site. Found mine and contacted who he thought was me, but it was really this woman. And then he came to a hotel room out in Rancho Cucamonga and met me there for the first time. That first night, we used meth together. We had sex. I got his number that night. I could tell he had money because he just didn't, like, hesitate to give me more when I asked for it, and usually that was something that people would argue about. So from then on, he would contact me, not that lady, to come see, and it just escalated really, like, quickly to, where, you know, he would take me out to dinner and pay me, like, money to go out to dinner with him. Afterwards, they always included, like, sex and meth. He was always excited to, like, try new drugs or bring his own drugs. So at first, he would pay me, and then after, he would start buying me, like, laptops and, like, just, like, larger gifts. I would kind of just spend time with him because he was giving me, like, so much. There came a time where he just... He has such a big personality that it really turned me off, and I had decided that I wasn't going to see him. And I stopped seeing for about 2 weeks.
But then she found herself in a dangerous situation. A man she met online invited her to fly to Portland, Oregon. But when she met him there, he frightened her. She didn't have the money to get home, and she was not going to call her parents for help.
I was desperate at the time, you know, and I just felt really unsafe at the situation. Like, the man was not who he said he was, and, like, kind of turned violent, and I didn't know who to turn to, and I knew Carmen would be the... He could afford to fly me back out, and I knew he would be interested, and so I called him, and he flew me back out to California and ended up putting me in the Hilton for a couple of months, and then later, helping me get an apartment.
Oliafito paid Sarah's rent. He bought her clothes, paid for trips, and he bought her drugs.
Like, if he brought me, like, a large supply of heroin, you know, that was, like, $600, $700. But if he got, like, G, that's, like, more expensive. Or if he brought, like, a stash of Roxy's, those are really expensive.
Roxy's is a street name for a brand of oxycodone. Pugliafito doesn't seem concerned about the money. He has a surgery practice, not to mention his job as dean of the medical school. Though he didn't let either of those get in the way of a good time.
His office was in, like, Beverly Hills, and he would most of the time come by after, but sometimes before. I remember one time that he was really late, and he was telling me about how, like, a doctor like him always makes his patients wait at least 4 hours. So he was late to seeing a patient because he was getting high.
And Pugliafito didn't seem that concerned about keeping his two lives all that separate. He would sometimes bring Sarah to the Keck campus.
There were times he would set up doctor's appointments for me at USC. He just introduced me to all. At first, he always says his niece, and I know it's, like, surprise, like, this 19-year-old niece or 20-year-old I've had. We used drugs, like, in the car. We were definitely both high. One time, I think it was, like, 3 a.m., and we, like, went to his office and had a lot of fun. I mean, like, used drugs in his office and raided the t-shirts and stuff. Methamphetamines, ecstasy, GHB, sometimes ketamine, sometimes, like, MDMA, sometimes, like, I would always use heroin. And then later on, he started using heroin too. Pretty much anything.
And Sarah confirms what her mother had told me about Pugliafito delivering drugs to her while she was in rehab.
One rehab I actually got kicked out of because he later came back and brought me champagne and, like, dildos and, like, Xanax bars. And then, like, 4 a.m. the next morning, he brought, like, meth and a torch. I think if I, like, Had I not been kicked out of creative care, I probably would have gotten sober sooner, you know? However, like, when he found me, like, I was a prostitute just having sex with people for money. So, in a way, he kind of, like, took me out of that seedy world and, like, put me into his own kind.
These stories of Pugliafito enabling a recovering addict to relapse, these are the details that should force our editors to act. I asked Sarah to tell me what happened at the Hotel Constance, the incident that was my starting point for this story.
So we were at the Hotel Constance, and I had stayed there the night prior. We were, you know, using like meth and heroin, and I also had like taken a drug called GHB. It was me and Carmen, and the night before, there was like another male escort there.
A male escort for Sarah to have sex with, so Pugliafito could watch. According to Sarah, he's an avid voyeur.
I just took way too much. He was on like escort websites, like looking at male escorts to come in for us, and I was like getting ready. I was putting on makeup, and like right before I overdosed, he was just taking a lot of photos of me. I even have those photos now, and I can see in the photos that I was like starting to just heavily perspire. And then right before I overdosed, he was like trying to have sex with me, and then I think I just like passed out. And that's when I think he might have like left me alone for a while. But then we had to move hotel rooms because somebody wanted that room, and that's when they found out.
The fact that they had to move hotel rooms may have saved Sarah's life. If they'd been able to stay in the room, she thinks Pugliafito, a practicing doctor, would have let her sleep off her overdose, and she may never have woken up again. Sarah also tells me that Pugliafito had made sure that the cops didn't find everything they had in the room.
I think the police found the drugs. Well, they just found the meth, because Carmen, I guess, was able to hide the heroin, the bongs, some of the meth, and the Jeep. He hid it in the stairwell, like a couple floors down in the stairwell, and when we went back to the hotel, we went and got it.
Sarah and Carmen Pugliafito had gone back to the hotel. That's news to me. Devon Kahn, the whistleblower who worked at the Hotel Constance and who had first told me about what happened there, didn't have that detail. Sarah woke up 6 hours after her overdose in the hospital. That same night, she and Pugliafito returned to the hotel to continue their party in another room. It says something about Pugliafito's sense of his own invulnerability. Even though the police had questioned him, he wasn't worried about returning to the scene. And it gives you a feeling for his recklessness as well. Sarah had OD'd. But here they were again doing drugs.
After I woke up, I was probably only in the hospital for like 30 minutes. They did a walk test and then they released me. I called Carmen and he came and picked me up, and we went back to the hotel and got another room and went got the drugs out of the stairwell. He was just so proud of himself.
Sarah tells me that this is not the only time she ended up in the hospital after doing drugs given to her by the dean. 6 months later, they're at the Balboa Bay Resort, a fancy waterfront hotel in Newport Beach.
He gave me all the drugs. He watched me use them, but then he left when I, like, started spinning out. So this is like a meth overdose, or, like, technically it was, like, a meth psychosis. So, like, it's not an overdose. Like, you fall asleep. Like, I went insane, and I was on the roof yelling. I was talking with, like, aliens and demons, and the world was ending, and I was, like, very violent.
The hotel staff found her on the roof, screaming. They called the cops, who came with paramedics.
The police came, and I was trying to fight them, and they had to sedate me.
Sarah tells me there was someone else there that day, her sometimes boyfriend, a Huntington Beach DJ named Don Stokes. Stokes is 17 years older than Sarah, and like her, struggling to beat a drug addiction. I ask Marianne and Paul Warren if they'll put me in touch with him, and they do. Don Stokes and I meet for lunch at a family restaurant in Huntington Beach.
So when did you first start to struggle with addiction?
I believe it was somewhere in my mid-20s. I thought, in my eyes, like a cup of coffee in the morning to some people. Some folks can't function without that first cup of coffee. I would wake up, do a small amount of meth, and continue onward with my day.
And so how did you meet Sarah?
At one of my shows. I showed up, and she was living in an apartment complex next door. And we started speaking, and she says, "You're a cowboy? Yes. You're honest? Yes. You're self-employed? Yes." These are not three traits that apparently women find together nowadays, and she couldn't believe it. I saw her as just learning and exploring life and being fun-loving. Again, she was very young. I was in sober living. I was not using drugs.
Dawn was in a sober living program in Orange County after getting arrested for drugs. It was a condition of his parole. But he didn't stay for long after meeting Sarah Warren because, along with Sarah, came Carmen Pugliavito.
I first met Carmen 3-4 days later after I met Sarah. She introduced him to me and was very elusive regarding who he was. He was a friend, is what I was told. I had no idea that he was supplementing her lifestyle by taking care of the rent, by taking care of a number of superfluous amenities, I'll call it.
Superfluous amenities. Does that include the drugs?
The drugs were just present. Whether they came from her, whether they came from him, whether I brought some to the table, because I had broken my own promise to myself at that point in time and started dabbling once again, even behind the backs of those that trusted me from the sober living.
At first, Pugliavito tried to get rid of the new guy. He threatened to cut off Sarah's drugs and rent money if he didn't dump Don Stokes. But Sarah ignored him, so Pugliavito changed course, inviting Don to join them for their parties, like the one at the Balboa Bay Resort that ended with Sarah on the roof.
I had been told that Sarah was going to be going into a treatment program of some type, and the date came where she was going to be going in. She said, "Okay, I'm going to be staying down in Newport. We're going to go get a hotel for a week. And you're welcome to come down." I've asked Carmen, and he said, "Okay." So I informed the management at Sober Living that I was going to be staying elsewhere for the night and got a hall pass, basically, for the day. And rode down there in an Uber. When I arrived at the Balboa Bay Club, I was blown away. Beautiful place, very upscale. Went to the room, and there was a huge water pipe. We're talking at least 3 foot tall, hand-blown glass, and I'd never seen one with an adapter to smoke methamphetamines through. I got very, very high, very quick, at which point in time, Sarah starts getting louder and louder, and I said, "I'm on probation at this juncture, okay? I need you to rein it in a bit, otherwise I'm going to have to leave because you're causing a disturbance." And she's laughing uncontrollably and just slipping further and further into this different person. She wasn't talking to me anymore. She was talking to herself, to other voices in her head. She starts yelling about how much meth is in the room. I said, "I cannot be here for this." I got up, put my clothes on, and headed out the door. Called for a ride and stood on the corner of PCH and the street at Balboa waiting for my ride for well over 25, 30 minutes. In that span, I saw no less than a half dozen police units roll in to take Sarah into custody as she was on the balcony and running through the hotel wearing nothing but a bathrobe, screaming about all the methamphetamines in the room. That night, going back to the sober living that I had told them I was going to be staying elsewhere, climbing onto the top rack of a bunk bed and being spun out like nobody's business. Obviously, I couldn't sleep, but to lay there shaking and going, "My God, I hope she's okay." I I was very concerned for her health, for her mental well-being, for her legal well-being as well in that scenario, because again, she was being taken into custody. She was released the next day. Finally, I get her on the phone. She said, I'm really, truly sorry about putting you in that scenario. Myself, had I been there when the police arrived, I would have gone to prison for 6 years because I was on probation. I was being kicked out of the sober living because I obviously tested dirty after that night. So I stayed for a few days in Sarah's old apartment and then literally packed up a couple bags and headed to the Phoenix house. In fact, I was informed while I was there, like Carmen was paying for my storage and offered to do so. Just said, as long as you're pursuing your sobriety, I will help continue pay for the storage unit. And I know that that unit was not cheap. He spent several thousand dollars just to make sure that my personal belongings were there.
Don saw this as Pugliafito doing him a favor. But I'm not so sure. Don had seen a lot, and Nadine had a lot to lose if Don talked. Paying for a storage unit would be a small price to pay for Don Stokes' silence.
Nobody wants to outlive their money, but it happens, especially for women. That's why Gainbridge offers the Parity Flex annuity. It's designed for women's unique retirement needs, with flexible withdrawals to help cover unexpected expenses, plus a guaranteed lifetime income benefit that keeps paying you even if your account balance is zero. In other words, it's like getting a paycheck for life. We'll say that again. A paycheck for life. Guaranteed. Sounds too good to be true? It's not. It's the Parity Flex annuity. And it's one more example of their commitment to creating a better financial future for women. One where they feel empowered, not excluded, and ready to take on whatever their next chapter holds. Gainbridge believes financial flexibility and security are things we all could use more of. At retirement income you can't outlive is the ultimate flex. Who's with us? Start saving now at Gainbridge.io. Please visit Gainbridge.io/ParityFlex for current rates, full product disclosures and disclaimers, and other important information.
Let me run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print, or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for up to half the cost. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Savings based on cost of Consumer Cellular single line 1, 5, and 10 gig data plans with unlimited talk and text compared to lowest cost single line postpaid unlimited talk, text, and data plans offered by T-Mobile and Verizon January 2024.
Trinity School of Natural Health can help you be part of the fast-growing health and wellness industry. With an education that empowers communities, Trinity grads can change lives by applying natural health principles and techniques in holistic practices or stores selling nourishing health products. Offering 19 online programs that fit your busy schedule, you'll get training to help turn your passion into a career. Enroll today at trinityschool.org. That's trinityschool.org.
I was facing jail time. And I needed to get this community service or this community labor done. So I broke it off. As much like fun, and I use fun very loosely, as everything was having him like touch me and having to be intimate with him was by far the hardest aspect of all this. Because I'm not attracted to him, you know? And you know, I loved that lifestyle, but I also really like hated it because it felt like he was really obsessed with me and he really couldn't understand why I wanted like other people and not him. Right before I went into rehab for this final time, we were talking about looking at houses and stuff. I knew that I would just was unhappy. And I knew he had to get out of my life for me to get sober. I went into detox November 29th of 2016, and that's the last time I saw him. Well, I take that back. He came to my community labor one day, and I saw him from afar. But I, like, you know, told my supervisor that, like, I do not want to see this man, and, like, you need to tell him to leave.
Sarah's out of rehab, almost 5 months sober, and wants to tell her story. And she encourages her teenage brother to talk to me, too. I heard a little about Pugliafito's involvement with Charles Warren from his mother, Mary Ann, but Charles has a lot more to say. Again, these are his words from an official transcript read by an actor.
My initial encounter with Dr. Carmen Pugliafito would be about the age, at approximately the age 17. My sister had invited me over to one of the many apartments that she had gotten over the course of time that she had spent with him. And he, you know, he was just a surprising character. He was a 65-year-old guy that partied like harder than I had ever seen anybody my age party. He took methamphetamine to a whole another level. He would go to liquor stores, bring me with him, buy kegs of beer. My first encounter was when he was providing me with nitrous oxide and other substances, such as marijuana, Xanax. There was ecstasy involved. And there was also heroin.
Again, Pugliafito didn't bother to keep the two sides of his life apart. He would sometimes be partying with 17-year-old Charles Warren, but would still take work calls.
He would answer calls, and then he'd be like, all right, this girl really wants to suck my dick. Be quiet, so I'm going to answer this. And I went to his office as well. I was taken down to the bookstore by his secretary, who was an Asian woman, and she seemed equally as scared of me as she seemed of Carmen, which really made me uncomfortable. Every time I saw him, if I was home alone at the house and I wanted something, I could call him up and he would send a package that's filled with alcohol, even ecstasy at the time, if I was asking for it, and definitely marijuana. He would give it to an Uber driver and say it's important medical supplies or it's important school supplies that need to get there immediately, send it over from Pasadena to me. He had like a metal box that he would keep drugs in. And there's a felt lining. He keeps his emergency stash of meth under the felt lining. So you can go in there with a knife and prop up the felt lining and get under there and there'll be meth under there. Guaranteed.
What I hear from Charles Warren makes for the most damning allegations against Pugliafito yet, since Charles was a minor when Pugliafito first gave him drugs. Devon Maharaj, the editor-in-chief of the LA Times, had told me he was, quote, open to more reporting when he killed the first Pugliafito story. I didn't believe that, but either way, this is more reporting. Now the team and I go to work to get this story into the paper. Reporter Harriet Ryan writes a draft that includes this explosive new material. We submit the revised draft to California editor Shelby Grad, who agrees it's ready for the top editors. He sends it on to the number two editor at the paper, Mark Duvason. I also send Mark an email saying we need to get this published as soon as possible. My sense of urgency isn't just because it's taken nearly a year to get to this point. I've talked to two medical ethicists who told me that the Times has an obligation to disclose the information about Pugliafito promptly, because he's still treating people. Sarah Warren told me he would see patients while he was high. Mark writes back, quote, The new and much improved story was given to me a few days ago. I read it last night. We'll read it again tonight, and we'll follow up with any questions. Shelby Grad's edits are straightforward, but Mark keeps dithering.
Just a sort of ping pong back and forth of editing, adding details, adding explanations, taking some things out that they thought, you know, we might not need, restructuring here and there. It was a very contentious process.
Reporter Sarah Parvini.
Any journalist, any reporter or editor could tell you that at times, especially when it comes to an investigation, the editing process isn't always fun. But it was the first time in my experience where it wasn't just the sort of standard back and forth editing process of like, maybe you get a little bit angry at the editor, or the editor might think like you are not seeing clearly on something and you sort of have a little bit of a bicker about that. It was just a actually contentious process that was upsetting.
Shelby tells us the story is at the final stage of lawyering for publication. But days pass with still no word from Shelby's boss, Mark. I'm so frustrated that I tell the Times legal counsel that if the story is killed again, I'll complain to HR. Not long after that, Mark tells me to come to his office. I've never seen him so angry. He slaps his desk and jabs his fingers at me. The newsroom handles its own problems, he says. We do not involve HR. It seems like for Mark, I've crossed a line. He takes the story away from Shelby, who's been working with us for months, and gives it to the paper's new investigations editor, Matt Doig, who was just recently hired. Reporter Matt Hamilton.
Suddenly it's being kind of diverted to this other editor who has just arrived, has no idea how we've gotten to this point, and it felt like a delay tactic, frankly. The edits came back in increments, and there were edits, there were questions, there were requests to tighten certain sentences or cut or move, but we addressed those really quickly. I mean, almost within hours of getting the edits, we immediately turned it around, and it's like back into that very slow waiting period.
Reporter Adam Elmarek is dumbfounded by this new editor's judgments about the story.
He took the draft and he basically threw it out and suggested his own draft that he thought would be better to publish. And we looked at it and we just thought it was not publishable, that it wasn't up to the standards of the LA Times. There were certain things that just right off the bat didn't make sense. He wanted to take Sarah Warren off the record. Sarah Warren was an on-the-record cooperative source, our most important source in the story. He wanted to take her off the record because, well, one day she might be 35 and want to get a real job, and this will come back to haunt her, was his rationale. I'd never really encountered that before, where an editor says, let's take a main corroborating source who has no problem being on the record, let's take that person and put them off the record. That was just flabbergasting to me. Another thing was he tried to refer to Pugliafito as someone who's not a public figure. There was a sentence in there that said something like, you know, the Times doesn't normally write about people who are not public figures or, you know, government officials as far as like their private lives. And it was one of those things where it's like, wow, you're kind of like giving Pugliafito his own legal defense here. You're just opening it up for him.
When you have this kind of bulletproof, well-reported story that has taken a lot of resources sitting in the queue, you're like, what the hell is going on? Separating out the public health concerns, the public interest concerns of like, well, like he's still seeing patients. Sarah Warren's still trying to deal with her drug addiction. The sources are pressing for progress, and yet it waits. I can't convey how each day it goes unpublished intensifies the frustrations and angers of this team of people.
The back and forth with Mark Duveson and editor Matt Doig goes on for months, I noticed that the story won't run during the LA Times Festival of Books, which is hosted by USC. It doesn't run during USC's May commencement ceremonies. I hear from my longtime confidential source at USC, a person I call Tommy Trojan. He tells me that there are rumblings among Nikias' lieutenants about an embarrassing story that might be coming, but not until after the end of the school year. How anyone at USC could know that is beyond me. My fear is that it's being leaked directly from the newsroom. We keep trying to address the edits to our draft that seem designed to downplay Pugliafito's crimes or any hint of a cover-up by USC. The section on USC's poaching of the Alzheimer's researcher is cut in half. Our reporting on two of Pugliafito's criminal associates is cut for no reason.
So we kind of had to comb through this draft to see, well, what has been cut? There were a couple of key cuts that were like, wow, I don't think we can let this pass. One of them was the whistleblower. There was a whistleblower who had called the USC president's office.
The whistleblower is Devon Kahn.
He was cut from the draft, which was really disheartening because this is the only indication that we had that USC knew that Pugliafito was in the presence of a young woman who'd overdosed in a hotel room. That was being taken out, which was something that we couldn't really allow that to happen. We emailed Mark and we said, we have some concerns about this draft in terms of holding USC accountable. We outlined maybe some other concerns and we asked to have a meeting.
The reporting team, Harriet, Sarah, Adam, Matt, and me, all agree that this is one cut too far, that Devon Kahn has to stay in the story.
Nobody wants to outlive their money, but it happens, especially for women. That's why Gainbridge offers the Parity Flex annuity. It's designed for women's unique retirement needs, with flexible withdrawals to help cover unexpected expenses, plus a guaranteed lifetime income benefit that keeps paying you even if your account balance is zero. In other words, it's like getting a paycheck for life. We'll say that again. A paycheck for life. Guaranteed. Sounds too good to be true? It's not. It's the Parity Flex annuity. And it's one more example of their commitment to creating a better financial future for women. One where they feel empowered, not excluded, and ready to take on whatever their next chapter holds. Gainbridge believes financial flexibility and security are things we all could use more of. And retirement income you can't outlive is the ultimate flex. Who's with us? Start saving now at Gainbridge.io. Please visit Gainbridge.io/ParityFlex for current rates, full product disclosures and disclaimers, and other important information.
Let me just run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print? Or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
Trinity School of Natural Health can help you be part of the fast-growing health and wellness industry. With an education that empowers communities, Trinity grads can change lives by applying natural health principles and techniques in holistic practices or stores selling nourishing health products. Offering 19 online programs that fit your busy schedule, you'll get training to help turn your passion into a career. Enroll today at trinityschool.org. That's trinityschool.org.
Time is a luxury for us, especially if you're a mom. That's why we need a skincare routine that's easy, fast, and gives us results. Plus, what if your products had thousands of five-star reviews? Were natural and affordable? Well, say hello to Dime Beauty. Dime Beauty is clean, high-end skincare that is affordable, and it really works. Not sure where to start? I highly recommend the Work System. It's everything you need in one powerful package. Take out the guesswork with a proven routine that includes a gentle yet effective cleanser, a super skin toner, two incredible serums, and two luxurious moisturizers. See what everyone is raving about. Dime has over 2 million happy customers, and their product reviews are literally 5 stars. And right now, through Monday, Dime has their Spring Into Savings Sale. Get 25% off site-wide. Go to DimeBeautyCO.com for 25% off every product on the site. That's DimeBeautyCO.com for 25% off. But hurry, the Spring Into Savings Sale ends Monday. Go to DimeBeautyCO.com.
Harriet Ryan.
We all worked in a part of the LA Times old newsroom that was called Baja. The newsrooms arranged like California, and so when you get far away from the city desk and the big offices, you get into Baja and then Cabo, like way out in the end of the building. And so we all worked out there. And so we could talk over our cubicles and stuff, but we were going down to meet with the big bosses. We'd walk down this like long corridor that went past all of our colleagues to the big glass offices. People would watch you move, and there's like five of us. And so it's like this huge group going down, and like the eyes of the newsroom are on you, and they're just like, what's going on? So we go into Mark Duvasson's office. It's glass on two sides, view of the city desk. He's sitting behind his desk, and then there's Matt Doig, who's sitting in front of his desk.
Adam Elmarek.
We talk about the whistleblower and how he's being cut. Mark just kept saying, well, you don't have a second corroborating source. It was not, this is a really important fact to holding USC accountable in this story. This is an indication that USC knew what was going on. How do we beef this up, or how do we make this even stronger? It was just, no, we need to cut it. You don't have a secondary, you know, source. We just need to get rid of it. And this was a very critical, uncomfortable truth in this story, that USC potentially knew about Pugliafito's conduct. And so to cut that was, it just betrayed what I thought was our mission in journalism. And so they said cutting the whistleblower is unethical, and I can't stand by it.
It just got more and more tense to the point where I remember being told to stop shouting. Paul and I had such scarring experiences with the management that we were just like, we're ready to go. Like, we're ready to fight at any point because of what we'd seen in the past. It was just clear, like, they were going to try to take this guy out. And, like, you take him out, you're taking out the accountability on USC. We're writing about this guy because of who USC is, not because of who he is. And we're starting to grasp, like, they're going to try to just, like, gut the main point in the story. And then Mark says, guys, whether this is in or not, this is already going to be the worst day of Max Nikias' career.
It was a surreal moment. Why do we care whether this is already going to be the worst day of Max Nikias' life? What is the implication of that, that we should ease up on USC because it's already going to be a bad day for them? Up to then and since then, I've never heard anyone say, on an investigative story about a powerful institution, you know what, guys? This is already going to be the worst day of so-and-so politician's life. So let's just excise a couple of bad facts that they wouldn't like to be out there.
Our investigation is filled with bad facts about Pugliafito, about the leadership of USC. We have bad facts confirmed in court records through videos and photos, in 911 recordings, with witnesses and on-the-record interviews. But it seems like our editors want to get rid of the one bad fact that looks the worst for USC.
I had this sense of just like blood rushing in my ears because I was so frustrated, and I, not knowing whether I wanted to scream or burst into tears, that this thing was happening again. When I think about the glass on Mark's walls, I just picture it just sort of like pulsating with the, like the rage and frustration in that room. It was a turning point. I just remember saying, okay, if that's your decision, we need to go talk because we're gonna decide what we're gonna do. And that's code for we're taking our names off the story. And that's a huge deal because they're not gonna run the story without our names.
The meeting has left all of us more determined to restore Devon Kahn to the story, determined to get the story into the paper.
There was no way for the story not to be run.
These bad facts have to see the light of day. Devon Maharaj, Mark Duvasson, and Matt Doig deny that they did anything wrong in their handling of the USC investigation, and they maintain that any negative portrayal of their actions is false. Next time on Fallen Angels, our fight to publish reaches a boiling point at the LA Times.
She was just like real aggressive, like, let's go, let's get to the bottom of this. And here was like a person in power saying like, okay, that's not okay. Nobody should speak to you that way.
But our sources are starting to lose faith.
At the time, I'm like, hey, man, I've given you everything I could possibly give you. What is this?
And we discover that Sarah Warren is not alone.
Dora was like, oh, this is my friend Carmen. I mean, in a million years, looking at this man, I would never have believed he was the dean of USC Medical. It's insane. My parents started contacting the police about what was going on.
That's next time on Fallen Angels. Fallen Angels, A Story of California Corruption, is a production of iHeart Podcasts in partnership with Best Case Studios. I'm Paul Pringle. This show is based on my book, Bad City, Peril and Power in the City of Angels. Fallen Angels was written by Isabel Evans, Adam Pincus, and Brent Katz. Isabel Evans is our producer. Brent Katz is co-producer. Associate producers are Hannah Leibowitz-Lockard and Anpaho Locke. Executive producers are me, Paul Pringle, Joe Piccarello, and Adam Pincus for Best Case Studios. Original music is by James Newberry. This episode was edited by Max Michael Miller, with assistance from Daniel Turek and Nisha Venkat. Additional editing, sound design, and additional music by Dean White. The voice of Sarah is read by Kat Protano, and the voice of Charles is read by Dylan Saunders. Harriet Ryan, Matt Hamilton, Sarah Parvini, and Adam Elmarek are consulting producers. Our iHeart team is Ali Perry and Carl Cadle. Follow and rate Fallen Angels wherever you get your podcasts.
Nobody wants to outlive their money, but it happens, especially for women. That's why Gainbridge offers the Parity Flex annuity, designed for women's unique retirement needs, with flexible withdrawals plus a guaranteed lifetime income benefit that keeps paying you even if your account balance is zero. Gainbridge is helping build a better financial future for women. Retirement income you can't outlive is the ultimate flex. Start saving now at Gainbridge.io. Visit Gainbridge.io/ParityFlex for current rates, full product disclosures and disclaimers, and other important information.
What's up, y'all? Janice Torres here.
And I'm Austin Hankwitz.
We're the hosts of Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories, a podcast presented by iHeartRadio's Ruby Studios and Intuit QuickBooks. Join us as we speak with small business owners about the tools they use to turn their ideas into success.
From finding that initial spark of entrepreneurship to organizing payments and invoices, we've got you covered. So follow and listen to Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Tired of restless nights? At Lisa, we know good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. From memory foam mattresses to hybrids that keep you cool all night long, Lisa's mattresses offer exceptional comfort and support with free delivery and 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus two free pillows. Go to lisa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. Exclusions apply. See lisa.com for more details.
You never want to find yourself out on the water fishing without the essentials. So it's best to always pack a Columbia PFG Solar Stream Elite hoodie to protect against the sun. I mean, it provides great protection, and it's really breathable so you don't get hot. That's a win-win. Columbia PFG has a lot of great gear. So before you head out on the water, head over to Columbia.com/PFG to shop their performance fishing gear.